everyone. My name is Ashita Cabra, and I'm the founder and CEO of By Rotation, the world's first social fashion rental app. I created the platform so that we can transform our fashion consumption for good. You can save money, make money, dress in new clothes, make new friends, and save the planet one rental at a time.
I'm so proud to say that this podcast is brought to you by NatWest Business Banking. Whether you're thinking about starting a new business or are already running one, NatWest could help you meet your goals sooner, no matter how big or small. I know how tough it is running a business, and we are so grateful to all the other businesses and partners for their support. NatWest is here to support your business with many tools and tips. So if you've got a big idea that you want to turn into reality, what are you waiting for? Search NatWest Startups to get started. With NatWest, tomorrow begins today. Business banking is available to eligible customers in the UK. Specific account eligibility applies.
Today, I'm joined by Serena Hood, co-founder and CEO of Collagerie, the revolutionary shopping platform where you can shop tasteful items across fashion, beauty, and interiors at different price points. Prior to founding Collagerie in 2019, Serena started her career at American Vogue and then British Vogue, where she met her Collagerie co-founder, Lucinda Chambers. Her experiences at Vogue sharpened her eye to spot the most exciting brands and trends in fashion. Serena, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Serena, first things first, and I like to ask each one of our guests on the series this question. What's currently on your rotation?
Apart from all things Collagerie, I would say reading and walking. So I've just started Paper Palace, which I am loving. And if anybody hasn't read it, I highly suggest you do so. And actually, I recently read Thrive by Arianna Huffington. And one key takeaway from that was how walking can solve so much and also inspire a great deal. So whenever I can get into nature, I do. And instead of going on coffee dates, I now go on walking dates with friends and work colleagues.
I've been hearing this walking trend a lot. I mean, it happened even during the global lockdowns that we had.
I think it started then, actually. Yeah. And I think so many of us realized the outcomes of walking. You know, it's you get exercise. I come up with a lot of ideas, and then I bring them all back to the office.
What's your favorite park in London?
It's a good one.
In New York, you just have Central Park.
I do love Kensington Gardens.
Do you end up bumping into people a lot on these walks?
I do.
Do you like that?
Yes and no. It depends if I put on makeup that day.
That's a good answer. I do love walking too. I mean, I just feel like...
We should go on a walk together.
We should, instead of filming this podcast episode. The guys can follow us.
Exactly.
Serena, for those of us who don't know what Collagerie is, and besides the intro I've given, why don't you tell us what it is and the inspiration behind it?
Sure. So Collagerie is the shopping platform expertly curating the world of fashion, interiors, and beauty at every price point. The idea actually came to Lucinda and I, not over walking, but over a cup of coffee after we both left Vogue. And we were just talking about how we shop, how we dress, and we feel we're not so weird and wonderful. There's not hundreds and thousands and millions of women like us all over the world who shop in the same way. And that is, on any given day, we will mix a new discovery brand that we might have found on Instagram with a luxury item such as a Loewe handbag that we have, you know, we bought and we take out year after year and wear for decades. So you make up the cost per wear. And we also love curating the high street. So, you know, going to, you know, Zara or going to Mango and looking and finding, you know, that one thing that we're drawn to and love.
What's the motto again? I love it. It's on every newsletter at the end.
The one thing over everything.
Yeah. Who came up with that?
Well, we actually came up with it together. You know, every step of the way, Lucinda and I have, you know, been very aligned on our vision for Collagerie, how we saw it sitting in the digital landscape. And I think, you know, not only was it to solve our own problem in terms of, you know, bringing the best of the best of what's out there, but also thinking about how we can inspire the shopping experience online with a platform that was colorful, that was very curated and you weren't overwhelmed by product. We could almost be an escape and a sort of a relaxing way to shop online rather than any platform that might induce stress. And I think we've all been there when, prior to Collagerie, we'd be setting out to, you know, look for an outfit for a wedding, and we would suddenly have 20 different tabs open, and then we would abandon the whole shopping experience as a result because we were so overwhelmed. So we hope that Collagerie, you know, gives some inspiration, really, to the process of shopping online.
And I can see how your background, obviously, at American and British Vogue, you know, kind of honed this amazing eye that both Lucinda and you have. How is this different from working at Vogue?
You know, I think that what's similar and what we've done all our lives is, you know, edit the best product out there, as I said before. So, you know, what we want to do is share. As an editor, you know, the one thing that, you know, we always had been doing, you know, as editors at Vogue is sourcing, sharing, looking at who's new, but then also looking at the brands that, you know, we already know and love, and kind of sifting through and pulling out the pieces that we wanted to, you know, at that time share with the Vogue community. And now, you know, at Collagerie, what we're doing is similar in a sense, it's sharing. But I think what's very different in my day to day, and I know Lucinda's day to day, is actually, you know, being co-founders of a business, you know, starting a business, having an idea, and then, you know, bringing it sort of, you know, if you fast forward 3 years since launch and we're now, you know, 13 full-time.
Amazing.
Across, you know, all different departments. And, you know, we still feel that we're only at the beginning. And I think that's what's really exciting too.
How was COVID for you guys? I mean, it must have been amazing, like gaining that audience, having people, I guess, suppose stuck at home and looking for that curation and being overwhelmed by various emails from so many retailers.
I think that, nobody could have anticipated what, you know, what COVID would bring. I think, you know, we were 3 months post-launch when, you know, we were all went into the first lockdown. And, you know, we pivoted, you know, so much of the kind of beginning journey that we had planned for was going to be about, you know, meeting community members in person. So like taking Collagerie offline with styling events, talks. And what we did was think about how we could, you know, not only deliver content to cater for what, you know, was, you know, engaging at that time. So that was loungewear. It was interiors.
Yeah.
We even did sort of cooking with different celebrity chefs. So we tailored our content, but then we also worked closely with brands on, you know, what we could offer to highlight and market their collections. You know, it was a real learning curve. And I think that it really taught, you know, us and the team about how you sort of, you know, put the next step forward, whatever that might be.
I feel like I remember your first collaboration. Was that with Papier?
It was.
Was that the first? I was so nice. The notebooks and the note cards. I remember that.
And we love Papier. That was all designed during lockdown over Zoom. And that was our first product collaboration.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it was very on brand as well. Like you had a very defined brand from day one. How did you guys do that?
Well, we've always thought of Collagerie as a brand in itself, you know, bigger than just Lucinda
a platform.
And I as founders.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that we were editors at Vogue, you know, it's never about you individually. It is about sharing and about how you can, you know, we want everyone in our community to feel that there is something for them at their budget. So, you know, inclusivity for us has always been very important in that, you know, we want Collagerie to feel like an aspirational world that everybody can be a part of.
And so the brand had to also kind of, I guess, be accessible while still being a bit elevated, I suppose. That's how I view it anyway.
Exactly, exactly, Ashish. And I think that no matter what your budget is, so, you know, whether you're spending, you know, £15 on a notebook or, you know, £100 on a new, you know, dress, you know, we want everybody to feel that there is something there for them that's exciting and is something they want to keep forever. You know, that's really been at the heart of Collagerie is not how much you buy, but how much you love what you buy.
I love that because there's a sustainability sort of messaging there as well. And you spoke a little bit about cost per wear. Is this something you were thinking about more and more?
I've always felt a real emotional connection with what I buy, whether it's for my home or whether it's for my wardrobe. And actually, a friend of mine said to me, who's a designer once, he said, buy what you love and you'll always find a place for it. Mm-hmm. I think that mantra is something that both Lucinda and I, you know, really live by and also is at the heart of Collagerie. So, you know, when you do buy something, we're very conscious of, you know, when we curate product on site, that it is pieces we feel that can last forever.
I love that. And I definitely see that as well in the product choices on there. I was going to ask you a question about why you decided to be an entrepreneur. Is this your first venture? And how did you even decide that? I mean, who came up with the idea? Who was going to be, you know, who's going to be CEO?
Okay, so going back to, have I wanted to be an entrepreneur? I think that I have always had a desire to start a business. You know, actually, when I was at Georgetown, I started designing embellished underwear.
Oh.
That I would decorate, I would sew, I would glue kind of embellishments onto them. This was at a very different time when people wore very low jeans around the waist. So they would sort of, you know, pop out and I would...
Sounds very 90s.
I mean, it was early 2000s. So I would design these in my dorm room at night and I would sell them. I started selling them on M Street in Georgetown. And then I started selling a few in the Hamptons at certain boutiques. So that was my first kind of like entry into being an entrepreneur. But at that point, I thought, okay, before I take this any further, I'm going to finish my Georgetown degree, which I did. And then, you know, with my love of, you know, I've always loved fashion. And I then went to New York and I started interning, you know, first for Marc Jacobs. And then I went to American Vogue. That really opened my eyes to the world of fashion. I mean, I was at the forefront of, you know, everything that was going on in the designer landscape. I learned a great deal there. I made friends there. It, you know, was the most fantastic starting point. And when we had the idea for Collagerie, Lucinda and I don't think either of us actually at that point had any intention of starting a business. We just thought, this is a great idea, you know.
This was when you were at British Vogue.
This is when I was at British Vogue. So I, you know, I worked at American Vogue in New York, and then I moved back to London where my family lived. I, you know, had
this I don't know why I always think you're American.
I am American. I was born in the States. I grew up in London, then went back to Georgetown and started off my career in New York and then moved back again. So I've sort of always gone back and forth between the two. And when Lucinda and I left British Vogue after 5 years of working together there, across the desk, you know, she was fashion director, I was executive fashion director, and we were just catching up and you know, touching base and sort of, you know, just, and this is when that idea came up together. And we thought, okay, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll know, Ashita, and a lot of other, you know, founders out there, that when you have that light bulb moment, you have to act on it.
I love that. And you guys, I guess there was a focus on making it digital, besides all the, you know, in-person activities that you were also planning.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having a company founded on, you know, really engaging with the community was at the heart of it. Where we always started about thinking, you know, what does the customer want? What is missing out there? And we are the customer.
Yeah.
So we could see how, you know, online shopping has, you know, grown tremendously. It's set to grow even more. And it just felt that this was where the gap was that we wanted to fill.
And what about the in-person community events and the styling workshops? So after, are they all back?
Yeah. So after COVID, we, you know, really got stuck into those in-person events that we always set out to do. So whether it was, you know, a dinner with a brand or a styling event at a store or even a pop-up shop, which we did our first pop-up concept last summer. So, you know, that is also an area for us that we're really excited about, how Collagerie can live offline as well as online.
Have you ever considered having one of those sort of message boards where I guess your community could be interacting with each other?
Think that's a really good idea.
Just thinking, because you must have some serious fans. We don't have to put it in there in case it's something on the radar anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, all ideas are great ideas. And, you know, I think that, as I said before, you know, what it feels like is we're still at the beginning and we have so many plans ahead of how we want to evolve not only the website itself, but then also what we can offer offline too. So, you know, never say never.
Yeah. Both of you have amazing eyes, right? Lucinda and yourself. How did you decide who would be the CEO and the chief creative officer?
Well, it actually happened very naturally. Similar to actually how we worked together at British Vogue, you know, Lucinda was fashion director overseeing, you know, the creative for our fashion shoots, our covers, and I was always sort of running the fashion department. So I think that, you know, when it came to how we share our time at the business now, it felt like a very natural offshoot of what we've always done together. So,
and all these ideas, like as you said, when you noticed during the, you know, the lockdowns that you wanted to pivot and, you know, start doing a little more B2B, is that all sort of coming from you and also Lucinda kind of looking at the sort of brand partners?
It's really interesting. I mean, I have to, we've always worked together. You know, we're not two best friends or two family members who set out to start a business. So, you know, we are always throwing ideas out there, bouncing them off each other. And I think that what has been so integral to actually our success to date and navigating the world of startup life is having a co-founder by my side. Mm-hmm. I can't say there's a sort of magic, you know, solution to how it works. I have to say that a lot of it is chemistry.
Yeah.
And I think that chemistry counts for so much. You know, that gut feeling, how you feel about whether you want to hire somebody or whether there's a brand partner you want to work with. You know, I think Lucinda and I have always been very aligned in our gut feeling about things, and that served us really well.
I completely agree. I mean, I think Bi-Rotation was founded at a similar time to Collagerie. Yeah. And it's just been, and my first venture as well. And you're so right about chemistry and that whole, I don't know if you believe in this, but gut feeling.
Yeah.
I feel like oftentimes you have that gut feeling and sure, you want to try everything else, but you realize that your gut feeling was probably the right choice to go with all along anyway.
Actually, your gut is connected to your brain. So, you know, I've learned along the way that, you know, really listen to that because it, you know, yeah, it can serve you very well.
So what have you learned that's different from the world of publishing versus now being an entrepreneur and in a fashion tech environment as well?
I've learned a lot about what it takes to actually start a business and then what it takes to grow that business. We have been incredibly lucky with advice and, you know, other founders who have given so generously their time and their thoughts, you know, to us when we've had questions along the way. So I would say that, you know, if you're thinking of starting a business, and I'm sure, Ashita, you'll have some comments on this too, but, you know, other people's time and advice counts for so much. But ultimately, it's up to you then to do the hard work and to prove yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whenever I have the opportunity, I always want to try and give back in the same way. And I really strongly believe that there is a huge amount of opportunity still ahead for female founders. I think it's still really challenging in a lot of ways. And that's really opened my eyes actually to, you know, a lot of the I'd say still inequalities between mm-hmm. being a male and a female entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think in the US, about 1.9% of funding last year, well, VC funding anyway, went to female founders. And then even a lower proportion to people of color. It's just, it's crazy why there is this disparity. And it kind of, for me, I almost feel like it comes down to, it doesn't seem like a very merit-based choice.
I think there's a lot of work to be done. I think there's also a lot of work to be done around supporting women to be able to start businesses. Yeah. So for example, you know, the childcare system in this country needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a problem. I'd actually call it a bit of a crisis. Mm. I think that, you know, the bill that's been passed recently by Jeremy Hunt is only the beginning. So, you know, being a founder with two young children, and actually starting Collagerie when I was pregnant with my second child, that's been a real eye-opener to me. And I have to say that, you know, along my career journey so far, I've been very lucky in that I haven't had many challenges facing me when it's come to, you know, navigating the world of fashion and moving up the ladder. But, you know, the challenges that not only women face, but women who were raising children face are big. And how we can all work together and share our stories and share our resources. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, it's exciting, I think, as to what we can accomplish and do for future generations.
I think you're right. Even just sharing what works and what doesn't work can go a long way so that, you know, we don't end up spending our resources, which often are very limited, again, at the early stage, on things that we know won't work from experience. I wanted to pick up something actually that you said about mentors, and I'm terrible at this, right? Like, I don't think I have a specific mentor or a few people that I can reach out to and be like, you're my mentor, you've mentored me on this, besides maybe my husband, so shout out to him. How would one approach someone to become their mentor, or a few people?
I mean, how do you define a mentor? When it comes to mentors, I mean, I don't know if they would call themselves mentors, but I think what they are is, you know, founders who are further ahead in the journey. Mm-hmm. Either they've, you know, sold their companies successfully, or they have, you know, started their companies earlier and built them up to be, you know, global brands today, who have just been really generous with their time and advice. And I think also, you know, being very straightforward and communicating, you know, what needs to be improved upon. I remember when we first had the idea for Collagery and bringing our first, you know, round of branding and first two business plans to a founder who's been really helpful to us. And he said, no, come back when you've got something for me. So, you know, the first two we sort of threw away and came back and said, okay, this is more like it. So, you know, you've got to be, you have to be able to take criticism and use that criticism in a positive way.
You've got the, you've made the mistakes, you've sort of learned.
Oh my gosh.
All the ins and outs of what it is to start a business.
Yeah. And I have to say, when we had that light bulb moment over a coffee, I had no idea. And I'm sure I can speak for Lucinda too, in saying, you know, how much we've learned now from that moment.
What's the most rewarding thing about having Collagery?
You know, I think what's so exciting is to feel that, you know, you can pivot in a way that maybe you wouldn't be able to do at a bigger company, because we're still, you know, pretty small. We see how we can fill this gap in the landscape, you know, not only in the UK, but in the US and, you know, internationally. So, you know, we really want to grow and expand and become a global, you know, brand name all over the world.
Yeah, it's such a scalable idea and platform, which is incredible.
Well, we absolutely believe it is. So I'm glad you do too.
I love the hashtag that you guys have. I found it on Collagery.
It's so funny you say this. So I was in, we work in a studio space, and there's four different offices there, and there's all kinds of sort of, you know, young, you know, groovy, fashionable kind of, you know, employees there. And there was a girl in the kitchen the other day. I said, I love your badge because I found it on Collagery. And I thought, okay, that's it. You've got it.
Love that.
Yes. So we've got, you know, that has to be happening in kitchens and offices all over the world too.
That's how I feel when anyone tells me that, you know, they rent it out by rotation. Like, I think for me, that's the winning moment.
It is.
You know that you're impacting someone's life. Yeah. I love that. So Serena, again, on this B2B, you know, pivot that you did, which I think is super clever because you're wearing one of your recent collaborations as well.
I am. Yes. I'm wearing our fourth product collaboration, which was with Jigsaw. This dress is from the second collection we've launched, Spring Summer, which just came out.
Super chic.
I have
chic
to say, it is so comfortable.
It looks it.
So that's been really exciting. It's in the Jigsaw stores currently, and you can also shop it online.
I love that you do them at various price points. You know, obviously Papier, Jigsaw.
So Jigsaw has been our fourth product collaboration, and we've just delivered our second collection for them. It's in stores now, and it's online. So this dress is one of the pieces, and there is lots more to shop from. So have a look if you haven't seen it. We are also launching our second collection for the Conran shop in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, which is exciting. Very different homeware, but all very colorful, lots of tabletop pieces, perfect for al fresco dining. And I think we're all ready to get outside. So that's been, that's a really exciting one in the works for us.
Can we expect one in beauty as well?
Ooh, well, we actually at the moment are looking at our collaborations for the year ahead. So watch this space.
This is so exciting. I love that. So Serena, we've spoken a lot about Collagerie and you as a founder. Who is the actual real you, Serena?
I have to say, there is not a huge difference, I'd say, between my personality at home and my personality at work. I think that what I hope anyone would say about me is that I've got a pretty good sense of humor. And I have to say, Lucinda definitely has a good sense of humor too. And I think that's worked really well, having that dynamic in our working relationship. But when it comes to home life, I mean, I just enjoy switching off. And, you know, that is where, you know, I won't be dressed up every day. You know, I might not put on makeup. My idea of sort of, you know, the ultimate time away is where it is my husband and my two girls and, you know, various family member around. And I bring one pair of sandals, I bring a few caftans, a bathing suit, and, you know, you don't have to worry about bumping into anyone. So that is sort of my, ultimate way to unwind and relax.
And I think this is probably where I feel like we see eye to eye, because I get that vibe from you as well. And we both love Sicily.
Yes.
From memory.
Yes, Sicily. So yeah, no, we love Sicily. And also we spent a lot of time in Mallorca. We love going there. And actually we love doing little sort of getaways around England, you know, mm-hmm. in the English sort of seaside. So, you know, those trips are really special. And I think really when I can sort of switch off and focus on, you know, my family.
How do you juggle with the fact that, you know, I mean, so some of your newsletters will be, these are Serena's picks, and then these are Lucinda's, you know, picks mm-hmm. for Collagerie.
Yeah.
So I suppose your online personality is also very attached to you being the founder, well, co-founder and CEO of Collagerie. Do you feel like you always have to be switched on social media and be this Ooh. Boss?
I think that it's a balance, you know, and I think that actually what's really important today about being a founder is to be able to, you know, allow, you know, team members the time to feel like you're not always on. You know, a lot of things can be scheduled now, which is great. But, you know, I think there is that balance about how you convey to, you know, the outside world that, you know, as a company, you're always updating, you're always there. You can come to us every day for, you know, the newest, the best, you know, we'll have everything that's just in. But, you know, that takes planning, it takes organization, but then being able to say, you know, this weekend or next week, you know, I will be taking this time and I will be focusing on family time, on unwinding. And I have to say, I do find when I take those breaks, I completely rejuvenate and come back with even more ideas than I had before.
The space actually makes you a better leader and a better founder.
I think
and CEO.
I do believe so. And as I said, it doesn't even, sometimes it's just even, you know, a kind of Saturday, Sunday escape to the seaside and you come back just, you know.
It's not even for the gram. It's just for yourself. It's for some space.
Yeah.
I love that.
And actually one thing I've started doing is playing tennis because I can't meditate. I hope one day I will be able to meditate.
Is your mind always racing?
My mind is always racing.
That's me.
So I thought that, you know, let's try something where I can get outside, I can start exercising, and my mind is focused on one thing, and it is that ball.
Yeah.
And getting that ball over the net and keeping it, you know. So I actually play once a week in the mornings with another founder. And we both really enjoy it. So that's been fun.
That sounds really fun. But as a first-time founder, do you sometimes feel like you second-guess yourself and the decisions that you make?
I think that, you know, there's always a sense of, oh gosh, was that the right decision or is this going to work? But, you know, what you learn is that, you know, one, being decisive is not only helpful to you, but also to the team. And even if you second-guess it later on, sometimes you just have to move on. But ultimately, you know, what's exciting is that the idea is working. And, you know, when you know that that idea you had and that kind of vision that was on a PowerPoint comes to life, you know, it starts to generate revenue, you then get community behind it, you get the brands behind it, you think, wow, you know, yes, that idea I had, you know, there's merit there. So in a way, you don't think about the whole journey, you just think, as I said, about the next right step. And, you know, we're just continuing to do that and build that vision kind of one day, one edit at a time.
I feel like that's what makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. And I think also having definitely when there's any kind of self-doubt, having a co-founder.
Really as your sounding board.
Yeah. 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 You know, we're each other's sounding board.
Yeah.
And actually, so, you know, a lot of the time we'll sort of sit down in a meeting and then suddenly this idea has come out of that meeting that really took two to tango, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I definitely, you know, definitely couldn't have done this without Lucinda. And I think, you know, she would say vice versa. So it's truly been,
an amazing marriage, essentially.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, right?
Well, you spend more time with the people you work with than you do with your own.
Exactly.
You know, partner, family.
So. And they also say, you know, like investment contracts and founder contracts, co-founder contracts, they're actually more ironclad than marital contracts, apparently. So there you go. So on a lighter note, I have two questions to end our episode, which I'm sure everyone's really going to enjoy. And I'd love for you to be honest about this one.
Okay.
What's a fashion faux pas that you remember making?
Oh my gosh, I have to say, I think there were a lot of fashion faux pas. Okay, it might not be a fashion faux pas, but it is a beauty faux pas. Okay. I look back at teenage pictures and the amount of sun-in on my hair and the tanning bed. So
sun-in?
Sun-in. I think you're probably too young for sun-in. So this was a spray highlighter that you put in your hair. And I used this for the first time when I was 14 and it went orange. So that was, you know, my sun-in moment. That was a bit of a sort of, that was definitely a faux pas. And I would say discovering the tanning bed salon in Georgetown in my freshman year, that was definitely a faux pas.
Also orange.
Also orange. And oh my gosh, I mean, I would never go back to a tanning bed today. So
those are great answers. Be aware, guys, of... What was that again? Sun-in.
Sun-in. Over-tanning.
Over-tanning. Beware of orange, guys.
It ruins all the album pictures, I tell you.
My final question to end our series, which I think you will probably be very familiar with because we've both answered this question for one of our club memberships. If you could be an expert in any other topic besides the ones that you already are an expert in, what would you choose?
Astrology.
Why?
I've always been fascinated with star signs, with, you know, where our moons are, our risings are, what our astrological signs are. So actually my mother introduced me years ago to her astrologer who actually I still speak to. I haven't spoken to in a while because I've been so busy, but I'm fascinated by astrology.
I can actually see there being some sort of astrology content on Collagery.
We have done content. We did a Pisces-inspired edit so recently. So any Pisces out there, go and check it out. But maybe we should make it a monthly thing.
I think so. I think you will have huge fans and a different audience as well flocking.
I think that what I think is really important to always remember is, you know, we're still so small in comparison to what's out there in the universe. And, you know, sometimes, and especially I find this on walks when, you know, there's something that comes up or you feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to navigate this problem? You just stop and think, okay, everything can be solved. You know, the world is so big, just breathe. Take some time. And that's one thing I've always done is, you know, if there's a problem I'm trying to solve, I never write back immediately. Mm-hmm. Like I will draft something, then I'll go back and reread it and I'll take some time before acting impulsively.
I've learned that a lot as a founder as well.
And sorry, this is very separate to astrology, but I think also, and I always, you know, encourage our team to do so too, is, you know, if you pick up the phone and talk to people, I think there's so much about relationship building that just, you know, not only you know, forms kind of the network of you know, who you work with, and but also how you make friends along the way. And I think that's something I've really learned too. And I also encourage our team to is just, you know, make friends on this journey, because, you know, it counts for so much.
And it's a tough journey.
It can be a tough journey, but I think it's hugely rewarding. You learn a lot. And when you make friends doing it, I don't really think about it as a job. You know, I really don't. I think about it as, it's just sort of becomes a part of you.
And that is a very beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much, Serena, for joining us on the
series. Thank you, Ashita, for having me and for all your brilliant questions.
For an exclusive £20 off on your next BiRotation rental, make sure to use the code ONROTATION. This code works for new and existing users for rentals over £30. Happy rotating!